Good morning, sisters and brothers. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I want to welcome you to this wonderful and uniquely creative way of being in worship together. This is the weekly worship podcast for Petaluma United Methodist Church, and you are welcome here in this space and welcome into the community of faith in so many ways. As we gather now, we gather with God's Spirit enveloping us and calling us to healing, to hope, and to creativity. And one more time, you are always welcome here. Amen.
Holy and marvelous God, still our hearts, we pray, so that we might hear the whispers of your yearning for our lives. Calm our anxious spirits and lighten our burdens, so that in this moment we might receive you in praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Let us join together to our call to confession. Come, let us lay down our burdens before God, so that we might be able to open our arms to embrace God's grace. Let us pray.
Please join me in the prayer to confession. Holy God, if we pause long enough to notice, we will see that change is built into everything in your whole creation. The change of the seasons, and the changes that come with age, the change of our hearts and minds, and the change of our community. We confess, Holy One, that we are not always open to change. We admit that change unsettles and frightens us. Forgive us, we pray. Have mercy on us for not being open to the ways of your changing creation. Create in us a responsive spirit, and give us a childlike joy so that we might walk with you across the landscape of change and new beginnings. We pray this, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God's tender mercies reach to each one in the moment, extending the restorative power of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, we are a forgiven people. Amen.
This scripture reading is from Psalms 50, 1 through 6. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me, my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead.
Well, friends, it's good to be with you today and to be coming to you on this Transfiguration Sunday. Our sermon today is entitled Focusing on the Right Thing. And our scripture, as was just shared with us, is Mark 9:2-9. Would you pray with me as we prepare? Holy God, prepare our hearts, center our spirits as we unpack your sacred text together. Give us common hearts that meditate freely, and give my mouth discipline and creativity as we share, as we move together to the rhythms of your grace. Amen. So I just thought I would share with you that some years ago, my bishop sent me to a workshop, and it was led by this guy named Stephen Covey. Some of you may have heard of him. He was most famous for a book he wrote called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, apparently, Bishop was of the opinion I could be, well, a little more effective, I guess. Actually, though, it was an honor to be selected, and I was glad to attend. So it worked out that I spent about a week at this workshop, and it was a great experience that I've returned to many times over the years. But there are two specific things that I took away from this seminar, and I want to kind of share them with you, if that's okay. And the first was Stephen Covey's observation that people in general are not particularly good at prioritizing the things in front of us. We tend, he notes, to take things as they come and give them all the kind of same level of urgency. You know, the truth is, not everything is urgent. So he encouraged us to sort our mail, our incoming messages, our to-do lists, the demands that come every day, to sort all of this into three basic piles. Pile one, urgent, cannot wait, must be dealt with now. And we know what that's like. I mean, I come home and the pipes are burst and the basement's filling. I can't put that off till tomorrow. I got a deal. That kind of thing, right? And then pile number two, important. Must be dealt with as soon as it's practicable, but this pile is not in that urgent emergency kind of place, right? You understand. And then pile three is, well, we need to get to it at some point and we can't forget about it. But the truth be told is, this can wait. Covey posited that most of us put everything in the first pile, treating everything as though it's urgent, everything as an emergency. And this has a tendency to overwhelm and exhaust us and rob us of any sense of vision or real accomplishment. And I said before, the truth is, not all things, in fact, most things are not an emergency. Most things are not urgent. If we can authentically prioritize what's in front of us, we'll be more effective in handling the geography of what we need to do every day. As Covey would say, this is an element of being highly effective. And the second thing I learned from this experience happened on the second morning of the workshop. The leader came down and got our attention. And then he said to us, "I want you all to write your obituary." Well, you know, you might imagine there was a deafening silence in the room. What? What? You want us to do what? And then he said it again. He said, "I want you to write down what it is you want people to say about you after you're gone." So we had an hour to do this, and we all carefully crafted our sentences that laid out the nice and wonderful things that people would say about us after we had gone on to glory. And the hour was up, and he called us back together, and we all shared our thoughts about what we hope people would say, what their words would be, what their thoughts would be about us once we were gone. And you know, of course, we all wanted people to think good stuff, right? We all wanted the people to think we mattered. We all wanted people to think that we were helpful and made a difference and so forth. And after all this, the leader said, "Well, friends, what do you have to change in your life so that this is, in fact, what people do say about you? How do you need to organize and lead your lives so that this obituary, if you will be true?" And in my head, I spun back round to those three stacks of prioritized tasks, wondering to myself how I could be more effective and more faithful in my daily living. Yeah, these were powerful things for me to hear. And the lessons were clear. Be focused. Be intentional. Don't be overwhelmed by the unimportant and the insignificant. Instead, prioritize and put your energy where it needs to go. And then, you know, we go back to our scripture and we see these lessons right there, don't we, in the reading for today. And this text, as you likely know, is popularly called the Transfiguration. And as the story goes, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and goes up to a high mountain apart. And there, he is transfigured before them. In other words, he starts literally shimmering and shining, and his clothes become a dazzling white. And as if this wasn't enough, suddenly there appear with him on either side of him both Moses and Elijah. What a sight! Jesus and two of the most important figures in Hebrew tradition. Nothing short of amazing. Scholars will tell you that this is to signal that Jesus is at their level, that Jesus is affirmed, in fact, by both Moses and Elijah. But what in this sense do the disciples do? How do they react? How do they respond? And, you know, Peter says, "Well, Rabbi, it's a good thing we're here, because we will now make three dwellings." And they were terrified. And the truth is, they didn't know exactly what to do or how to do it. They just got busy doing something. Well, pretty much something that wasn't all that useful, right? I mean, what did Jesus, Moses, and Elijah need with three little huts? And the truth is, they don't need them. It is the need of the fear driving Peter, James, and John that leads to all this work. So they get busy. And busy us, right? No time for us to sort out what's important. No time for them. They just reacted out of their fear and started building these funky little structures. And then out of the blue, out of the cloud, comes God's voice. God says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Listen to him. A wise teacher once told me, you can't learn anything while you're talking. Listen to him. Don't be running around building so-called dwellings which we do not need. Listen to the Lord and follow him. It's pretty basic, isn't it? And it leads me to wonder how often we, like the disciples, get caught up in our fear and do not focus on the right thing? Are there times, I wonder, when we allow the craziness of the moment to overtake us and we react and we get busy doing stuff when we should be focused on and listening to Jesus? I mean, there are times when we do succumb to fear, don't we? Right? Well, I'll speak for myself. I do. Fear of change, fear of death, fear of things and people who are different, fear of losing influence or power. I mean, the list goes on, doesn't it? And the world we live in, friends, doesn't help. All the information that continually blankets us like a blizzard is not designed to inform and empower. It is designed to cause fear and immobility. It is designed to distract us so we don't listen to him. So what, sisters and brothers, I wonder if we were able to prioritize the stuff that comes to us, both as individuals and church, what if we had the capacity to think about this differently, to sort things out as urgent or important or, you know, we don't need to pay attention to this right now? Or maybe we add a fourth power pile and that says, we don't pay attention to this at all. What if we put at the top of that priority list our decision to live our lives right now in such a way that in our wake, in our absence, people will know and feel the love of Jesus as it comes through us? What if we put down our incessant drive to keep busy and decided not to be fearful, not to be reactive, but to listen to him? What's he saying? In this time, in this place, in this society, in this pandemic, in this social reality, what is Jesus saying? Times change, it's true. Circumstances shift, also true. Pandemics come, chaos rolls into our lives. But friends, what Jesus is saying to us fundamentally does not change. This is why we listen to him and not to our fear. Jesus is always calling us to compassion. Jesus is always teaching us about forgiveness and grace. Jesus is preaching to us about equity and justice. He's telling us stories about gentleness, love, renewal. He's not really talking, as I read scripture anyway, about getting busy constructing buildings or shelters to honor great religious figures or great traditions or great doctrines or beliefs. No, God calls us simply to listen. And then I would add, we're called to focus on the right thing. We're called to organize our lives and our community so that we move on. We leave in our wake a whole world which is changed by love, transformed by grace. So it's a simple thing, I think. Let's let that which is urgent be urgent, and let's prioritize what's before us. And above all, let's listen to Jesus and carry on as followers of the great master, the Savior, the one of God. Carry on as ones who listen, who love, and who live in a way that people will speak of us as healers, as ones who have done the right thing, always and ever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we come seeking clarity of vision, and you call us to listen. We come yearning to focus on the right thing, God, and you call us to listen. Teach us, we pray, in this day, in this time, in this place, to be ones who pause, to cease our busyness, and our drive to do things and to pause for a moment to listen for the power of your spirit, to listen to the beating of your heart, to listen for the ways that you would have us move and dance in your love. And God, as we listen, we pause in prayer to acknowledge that even in the midst of life and the call, that we have things we must attend to as your people. For God, among us are people who struggle. Among us are people who wrestle with this pandemic. Among us are those who grieve because they have lost loved ones to this pandemic. God, we pray too because there are those among us who struggle with employment, who need a job. There are those among us who wrestle with relationships, God, for they can be difficult. And here too, you call us to listen. God, in all things, you call us not to be as individuals pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but you call us to open our hearts and our lives to one another so that as community, we lift one another up. As community, we lift one another to new places of courage and hope. And so we ask in this prayer for an outpouring of your Spirit. Open in us and create in us listening hearts. But also, God, pour your Spirit of presence out on us so that in our struggles, we can sense your accompaniment, we can feel your presence. And we ask this, God, and all this and so much more, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni, me adamaina nomuni matintu, me dagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa daga melo malangi, ni sile me viki mami ni singongo na kaka na rutiki mami, ni bukoda manda ni nime mi dagadala, me pakaki mami sambukoda, were sa dagadala viki mami, ni kaku ni kutiki mami gine vere, Kamuni vambuli kema me manava. Nisano muni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua. Kena langilangi. Asangani mundu. Amen.
We've come now to the time in our service where we receive our gifts and tithes. We receive a portion of that which God has given you, that you return to God's community for the carrying out of the work of ministry. We're grateful for your generosity, grateful for the promises and pledges you make, and would like to remind you now that if you have not made a pledge, that it's not too late. We can make sure you get a pledge card, shoot us an email, or drop us a card. You can give to us by dropping a check at the church at 410 D Street in Petaluma. You can send a church through the faithful U.S. Postal Service. You can give online by going to www.petalumaumc.org. And now we can even give through texting, and I believe there are details related to that in today's bulletin. However you give, though, know that your gift matters. Know that together we can do mighty things that apart we could not do. And so I thank you for your generous spirits, and invite us into a moment of prayer as we contemplate, as we give, as we are generous for the work of ministry. Holy and wonderful God, we give you thanks and we offer these gifts as symbols and signs, tokens of lives committed to listening to you. Lives committed to listening without fear and to prioritizing our lives so that we focus on the right things before Jesus Christ our Lord. We dedicate these gifts so that we might carry on that work, so that the world, because of us, might be just a little bit better. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Hear these words of benediction. As we go today, let us go with the Spirit of Jesus calming our hearts. Let us go with the ability to sort out and prioritize the things that come at us in life. Let us go and let us, above all things, live our lives in such a way that the world is better because of us. And let us go empowered by the Spirit and the wonder of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.